Jim McGuinness wrote in his book about, and I don't know whether he's changed on this, but as Colin McFadden reached to punch that ball to the back of the net, he didn't want it to happen because they hadn't played to their principles.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Colm, how are you? You getting better as the week goes on? Is it getting worse?
Where am I now? I mean, I don't think people care anymore, do they?
I think we're never not going to care.
I don't think so. I don't think they care how I feel at this point.
Either in the comments, have you? They were worried about you on Tuesday. They thought that something bad had happened. And then they realised, no.
I said to you yesterday at the end of the show, I was like, we should make a change today. I've not to say.
Make a change and you should be gone.
Yeah, nothing to say.
And then you slept on it and now you're back.
Yeah.
I'm back, baby.
Contractually, I'm here.
It's the beauty of the condensed season, though.
In what sense?
They spread this out. That final was next week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sundays.
10 days of it.
You'd be non-stop, sure.
We'd still be picking over the cards.
Still be going. What else could we talk about?
There's nothing stopping you. That. You know
the football's
I mean?
On.
Football.
Yeah, just
Clifford Murphy.
Take a breather for the football.
Jim McGuinness.
Next week for the hurling.
Oh, don't worry, we will.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Whatever.
When are you on parent leave? We'll be doing the hurling every day.
When I'm away.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
When we, that's nice. I won't be here.
We'll Morris Brosnan style subtly weave it into, we'll just randomly drive by.
This has made you so happy.
No, it hasn't.
And it's nice to see you happy.
It hasn't.
To be fair. You deserve to be happy.
Like, it's such an all-time thing.
That's nice to see you like this.
Anyway, the Lions team has been named.
Oh, you don't want to talk about that, do you?
Gary Ringrose called concussion symptoms on himself after training, after he'd been named in the team. This is just, like, again, it's only sport. But for him, it's a life's work was leading to this moment where he was going to start a Lions game where 4 years ago he could have started and no one would have batted an eyelid. And 4 years later, he's actually playing even better rugby than he was then. And it was going to be the Irish centre partnership, more than likely. And he called concussion symptoms on himself and now he's not available for selection. And you have to wonder if he's going to be able to make it back in time for the third test. And so his Lions dream is over. James Ryan is named on the bench. It's an all-Irish front row. More Irish Lions this week than last week. Bundy's in a 12. My boy Owen Farrell, he's basically Irish now, is on the bench. And otherwise, it's... Barry Kinghorn on the bench as well. Otherwise, as you were, right? Jack Morgan is on the bench.
Well, Josh van der Fleer.
Yeah, also heartbroken.
It's Ringrose's issue was out of his hands, even though he kind of, you know, selflessly put his hands up and said, I'm concussed here. And they've paid tribute to him. Both captain and boss have said fair play to him because he could have said nothing and played on. But at least there's a reason. But for van der Fleer, like, you go from World Player of the Year to this, not involved in the first two tests. And it'll be interesting to see what the conversation is like with Andy Farrell as the year progresses, when he's back to the day job. I wonder what they talk about. I wonder how that's addressed. Do they talk about stuff like that? Does he want answers?
I mean, it's possible that Josh van der Fleer uses this in the same way that Johnny Sexton used his omission. I mean, his omission was even more glaring, didn't make the squad. Van der Fleer is there, like, ready for select. Pick me, coach. I'm your number one guy. I'm literally the best player in the world for you.
Yeah, but it's just because he's his own boss as well. Like, you know, that's who he plays under at national level. So it's an interesting conversation when he returns. But I'd be interested to hear now. Hopefully, we'll talk to Chris Jones soon enough on this. How the English, Welsh, and Scottish contingent think of this? Because yeah, we're up one from last week. It's 9 now, and it would have been 10.
There was a piece in the Telegraph over the weekend. I think Gareth Davis was the guy's name, not Gareth A. Davis. Gareth Davis was the guy's name. I'm not 100% familiar with him. I think he was known as a sports editor. But basically, the thrust of the thing was he's a Welsh fella and he didn't watch it. Like, I'm not watching it. So why would I watch this? It's had nothing to do with me. There's nothing in it. And the comments weren't kind to him.
Does he not have a point? Like, this is Ireland plus Finn Russell playing against Australia. It's like, we're going to beat them. This is like, I actually like the bit of the Lions where you get to cheer on Tommy Freeman, and I love Owen Farrell, and I think that is the best part about this, as opposed to it's like Mauro Tolje. I love Mauro Tolje, right?
Yeah.
I hate Mauro Tolje when he's like tapping one of my players on the head at a ruck, really being an annoying prick. But when he's doing it on my team, I'm like, yeah, you go for that. You annoy that. You annoy the hell out of the opposition. But now it's like, oh, this is like an Ireland light. This is, it's not an Ireland day. It's an Ireland day plus, right? It was, what is the point? I felt the same watching Gatland's Wales Lions team play. Like, what is this? What are you doing?
Yeah, like I enjoy the whole aspect of rivals playing as teammates. It's fun. Like, it's fun to see how they interact. That's the whole selling point of the Lions. But this is just basically
Ireland
and a few guests, like plus ones at weddings.
Against like not a great international side. Now that maybe, you know.
So their team is named as well. Valentini and Skelton are back in.
Yeah, so it's a better team. But poor Nick White.
Yeah,
Nick White's chances of selection by making him come on the show yesterday?
We clipped it and all. We thought it would have helped.
Hindered. Hey, Joe. I'm sure Joe saw that.
He's not on the bench at all. It's the same nine pairing on the starting team and the bench. It's,
For Thursday only viewers of the show, we had Quinny on yesterday, and he said he'd seen Nick White going for a long walk with Joe Schmidt. We were like, well, maybe, you know, it's Homer Simpson, Flanders Child style. I like your hustle, Flanders. That's why it's so hard to cut you. And he's like, ah, no, you wouldn't. It's like, it looked far more like a, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is you. And then he dragged Nick White on. Like, oh, are you playing? And he walked away. Turns out he wasn't playing. He wasn't in the matchday squad at all. They kind of need a bit of that experience.
Yeah, but they're improved on paper, for sure, since last week.
We have that four good reasons to pick up a rugby ball and run very, very quick poster. It's Keith Wood, Paul Wallace, Jeremy Davidson and Eric Miller from the 97 Lions team. That was when we were terrible at rugby, right? And they were the only four players who made the squad from an Ireland perspective. Mm. And that's the birth of the modern Lions in terms of many people thinking, okay, well, first off, it's the first professional tour. And also Living with the Lions comes out and it was like, oh, this is an interesting thing. Now it's like, I don't know. Is it just because we have too many players, or is this stereotypical arrogance? Is this what it is like to be England?
It's just probably a knock on though. If you're going to give the job to a guy who's managing one of the teams that makes it up, it's just the same. You know, as you're saying, same thing with Gatland. Like, I don't really blame Andy Farrell if he's like, because he needs to win it.
He's got one job, and that's to win. Yeah. Right, yeah.
And these are the guys he knows. He has very little explaining to do to them.
Sorry, that's wrong. He has two jobs, actually. He's got one job is to win this, and then the second job is not to piss off the players who are going to be playing for him the week after next.
That's what
you know.
Saying that last, that's what I mean about Van der Vleer. It's really interesting. But yeah, exactly. He doesn't care. But maybe they should just create a rule that the manager...
Quotas?
Can't... Well, quotas, I was suggesting a couple of weeks ago. But the manager can't be involved with any of the four nations.
Currently, yeah. That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it?
Because it is natural. Like, because then it would be weird if he didn't pick loads of Irish lads at the same time. That'd be like, well, he's trying too hard to make it diplomatic and integrate. But nine is, and the fact that it was 10, it feels excessive.
Spread is 11. Now, I was looking back historically, spread in the second test in New Zealand when we beat them was something similar. Obviously, that was a very coherent Ireland team, you know, festooned with very experienced players, aggressively building towards the World Cup.
Yeah.
This team, this Australia team, I don't know. Maybe they produce one of those performances. And then he has to drop a load of the Irish players for the third test. That'd be very interesting at that stage. Like three Irish players picked. And he's looking around and like, ah, blah, blah. That would be, you know, you'd want to see that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would be good, yeah. But then that would be fine then, because then the Irish players would say, well, we deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll all be on the pitch and it is it's great for them. James Tracy said it's the pinnacle of your career. It's just, I think this tour... Because Australia are so weak, if they do just rampage over them and things go as expected, there's not going to be the same level of fulfilment that other Lions teams might have had for winning. Or even drawing the series in New Zealand. Like, that was a great New Zealand team.
The reason I think that they're going to beat them even more handsomely this weekend is because that they weren't impressive, the Lions, for the last 35 minutes last Saturday. Australia were the better team. They outscored them in the second half, first of all, 14-10, I think. But they also outperformed them, I think. So the Lions will ask themselves the questions like, why did we drop off there? Why did the intensity go? Because the try in the second half was so early and it felt so conclusive then, because Finn Russell converts it and the angle's mad tight. It's like, Jesus, these lads can't miss type of vibe. I suppose subconsciously it must have entered their mind and they dropped off a bit. But then you saw, so they dropped off a few levels, and despite how limited Australia are, they were still good enough to at least make a dent in the scoreline. So it's not like they don't have anything going for them, Australia. They have something. But then I was thinking of the preparation. It was like they had one warm-up game, a dodgy three-point victory against Fiji, and they have a couple of their big-name players missing. So I can't envision a world where the Lions lose this series unless they massively underperform themselves. But for the players themselves out there, I thought Australia tried right till the end.
Look,
I don't think they were an embarrassment by any means.
There is a scenario in which there's an early red card. There is stuff that happens. The referee decides that the scrum is completely wrong. Andrew Porter gets penalised 5 times in a row. Australia score 2 tries off the back of that because they rumble over in a newly emboldened maul from the big beast that they have coming into the team. And away we go. There's a game on, right? There is a few scenarios in which it's different this week. I think you can't overrate the last half hour of a game. I know Munster did it all season. Oh, we were really good in that last half hour after Leinster scored the 4 tries in Croker that time. It doesn't matter. Game's over, right? Game's dead.
I think it matters some bit for Australia's own well-being mentally. Like, you see the warm-up games that Lions did go on to batter those sides. So obviously the step-up is there. They have something going for them. And they proved that. Like, they tried right to the end.
Well, they're a team of internationals.
Yeah, but everyone's having a cut of how terrible they are, regardless of like their second-tier nation.
Who've had nothing to do except prepare for this game for the last,
I don't know what's going on,
9 months.
I don't know what's been going on that side of it. And that, I think that would be the big question for them. But like, it'll be interesting to get the Australian perspective later, but they've gone in on Joe Schmidt over there. Preparation, selection, strategy. It's all getting scrutinised.
And rightly so. Like,
because he's a man renowned for preparation.
Yeah, and you've had years to prepare for this.
It's so weird
playing a 10 you've never used before.
How many games did the Lions play like before the first test? At least half a dozen, wasn't it? 5 over there, 1 back in Dublin. They'd won against Fiji. Like it would have been insane. Like I know that the players themselves are match fit playing their own rugby, but as a collective,
I think if they played one more game, how much actual difference is it going to make? My point is that like he ends up with no options at 10 because all the eggs are in a single basket. We've seen that happen. Like he literally win the World Cup when we had no 10s after Sexton got injured. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? You know, fool me once. Anyway, a reminder, Off the Wall Breakfast is with UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. So I didn't actually do the full team. So Andrew Porter comes in at loosehead prop. It's an all-Irish front row with Sheehan and Furlong. Ollie Chesson replaces Joe McCarthy, who was missed out with injury in the second row. He starts alongside Maro Itoje. It's Tadhg Byrne and Jack Conan alongside England's Tom Curry, who has shaken off the wrist injury problems that they had. It's Gibson Park, obviously. The 9 and 10 remain unchanged. Then Bundiaki is in at inside centre. Hugh Jones at 13. Hugh O'Keefe is fullback. James Lowe on the wing. And Tommy Freeman as well. Keller and Ryan on the bench. If they win, yeah. Like,
it's a real shame because the last one was fairly poor as well, obviously, with the no crowds and stuff.
But there was endless drama.
Yeah, there was.
You have a heel in his, like, cresting to a peak of his heelness.
No, for sure. That did help, but I just recall that one feeling quite...
Well, the rugby was terrible.
Yeah, the whole thing was just a bit strange. So that's it, but yeah, I don't know. It is interesting how it's kind of... It's interesting how quickly something that all was kind of delivered and kind of captured the imagination can suddenly seem quite tame, even though it's probably more Irish interest in it than ever.
Look,
it's just kind of like...
If we were playing New Zealand, New Zealand would be like ratcheting up the tension, calling out the management,
yeah,
banging on about the fact that there was a load of New Zealanders playing for the team. Australia are very half-hearted about the whole thing because I think that they know that they could, you know, don't poke the bear. You'll end up getting annihilated.
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want is a Lions team playing with a sense of vengeance. But so I don't know what people are saying about it, but we move on to Shells and Joey O'Brien. Have you more Lions talk you want to do before we get to Will Genny later?
No, I'm just very confident of a comprehensive Lions victory because I think they'll be annoyed by their own second half performance. And it's purely that they'll want to improve on that, that they didn't fulfil their potential from the first half. But
he has changed the bench for that, sorry. That's why he said
Ben it. So Ben Earl's been left out and Marcus Smith's been left out, yeah, as in left out.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. So Ben Earl had the no arms tackle, which wasn't punished in the build up to this Wally disallowed try. So that's an interesting change. Will Stewart keeps his place on the bench. Other than that, is it a stronger Lions 23 this time around?
Way stronger. Owen Farrell is in.
And Australia is stronger. So there's more to look forward to. I think Lions will be a bit angry.
I am
actually looking forward to the second test.
I think there's a chance they're a little bit complacent. And I think it's going to be...
They were in the second half.
Much better game in the first half. But I think Australia run out of steam. Maybe the 90,000 in the MCG has an impact. And it's a 50-50
crowd. Yeah,
90,000,
yeah.
Have you been to the MCG?
I was just going to say.
No, I never went to the MCG. No, never went.
You were in Melbourne, were you?
Yeah, I didn't live there, but I went for the Australian Open. Yeah, but I never went there, no. But it's meant to be, the atmosphere is meant to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
Which sounds obvious, it's 90,000, but it, whatever way the design of it, it's meant to be class.
Stephen's Day Ashes there.
This year?
No, I'm not sure, but I just, I know a few people have gone to that. And it's just meant to be off the charts. Like, it's just like, yeah, it'd be a fucking, yeah, well, that'd be bucket list stuff. Yeah, yeah. Too casual.
Palamon's going this year.
Would you have a quota on representation from nations?
I think if it's more than half, you got to start looking at yourselves and going, this isn't really a Lions team, is it?
Yeah, but like if Wales are... It's an invitational. Not to open up a scab, like if Wales are useless, then what's the point in kind of...
Could have been a bit more polite about that, Arthur.
If you know what I mean, but like their first win in whatever it was, the week, like yeah, last
19,
week.
19, 18.
Like yeah. You can't, like it is funny, like... But like
they're historically bad, yeah.
You shouldn't get to that point, but like...
But I guess if you put the rule in place, then you'd say, well, that's the rule, so you have to go by
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And England aren't that bad at the moment, you know.
Yeah, I think England, see, good. That's the thing. England, I think, probably justify having more representation in the starting team. Like, I know the captain's English.
Yeah.
But who else did I have in the starting
team? Imagine if Caelan Doris was fit.
I'll stop. There'd be question marks for Otoje. There's another English player in the team. Freeman. So it's Freeman, Otoje.
It was Genge.
Curry. So three from 15. Like,
it is interesting because if it's Steve Borthwick in charge, he probably picks a different team. It's probably closer.
Steve Borthwick in charge. No,
Elliot Daly might have played.
Elliot Daly would have played, like, yeah, at this stage.
So,
certainly he was playing himself into four.
And then Scotland. Yeah, like, look, Ireland, they're the best team out of those nations, but still. It's in many ways it's great for us. Like if we were playing New Zealand and South Africa and nine Irish players were picked, this is cool.
I would be, yeah,
this is
definitely
cool. So this is more to do with the opposition. Who knows? Look, we're talking ourselves into
Australia.
We're talking ourselves into a 1-1 here after the weekend, and I think we'd be delighted with that in many ways.
Quinny said I'm absolutely hoping for Australia to win.
I don't know why though. I do want the Lions to win.
To smash them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of the Lions. I like the Lions personally.
All right, I do too.
Yeah, I like a lot of people.
But I like them because there's
a lot of people hate them.
We barely squeaked four players onto because there's the four lads.
Oh yeah,
we barely squeaked the four lads onto the team in '97. It was like a real kind of we're not totally shit.
I have fond memories of the 01 tour, you know, growing up. So I've always liked it.
Okay, here is Joey O'Brien speaking with Nathan after Carabag beat Shells 3-0 at Talca last night.
I thought the lads caused problems second half. As I said, we were on the front foot. I thought we had the better team probably for large periods of the second half. But then when we probably didn't get that goal with air and momentum, they got us with a sucker punch.
What was the issue down the right-hand side in the first half?
Yeah, I thought we had just a little bit standoffish, to be honest. And I just said that to the lads in the dressing room. I thought, yeah, we're getting too much respect. And for me, on a football pitch, when you give the teams too much respect, it's a fear. And didn't like it. You know, and I said to them at half-time, let's get in their face and have a cut off them and see what they have.
difficult there with half an hour to go, because 1-0 obviously keeps you in the tie, but at home, packed house, you want to go and you want to express yourself. What are you saying? What are you saying to the players at that stage?
To be honest, we didn't go gung-ho, you know, the players that we changed, it was the same shape and stuff like that, so it felt it wasn't because of that we conceded, really. So we didn't really change man to try to get that equaliser, and you get caught. It was just, listen, we didn't get it, and all of a sudden they pick a ball up and sort of a breaking ball in the middle of the park, and then it's a quality pass, quality run, and that's what you're up against sometimes, you know. Sometimes you're not open and you're not too expansive, but they can still cut you open with a bit of quality, and yeah, they done that for the second.
Yeah, I don't know if people were watching this on Premier Sports last night, but the goal might scramble very early on, where there are two chances, a brilliant diving header that would have looked amazing for all time if it had gone in.
Rick Wilson, yeah.
It doesn't go in, and then it comes back, and there's one of those ones where any kind of a connection that is, you know, over 30% good, it volleys straight into the back of the net and it slices off
Sean Gannon.
And it's just
and it hits it's a bit like that point that's emerged, or the non-point emerged from the All-Ireland final, is hits the bar, hits the post, goes across the line. Sean Gannon's sliced volley hits the post, goes across the line, cleared off the line,
and it's hooked. It's one of those hookings that could easily also have gone a comedy on goal.
That was the 7th minute, and then minutes later Carabao went up. Beautiful goal. Like, therein lies the difference in quality. I always loved that. I always loved the different quality levels, and you see it in person. It was like that. Their number 10 stops for a second, plays a true ball, and as soon as he does that, you're like, they're in big trouble here. So you don't see that often on a Friday night. It's just the differences. And Shells were all right, like, besides that chance at 0-0. They had two chances at 1-0 in the second half too. Ali Coote had a deflected shot that just went over, and
they hit the
Paddy Barrett, I think that was a cross, but it hit the bar. And then the two boys, or the two goals at the end of the game. Like, the second goal is brilliant through ball, brilliant midfield play, and well finished by the poacher striker who anticipates, hits the post, goes in. But the third goal, did you see the third goal? Ah, Jesus. The header backwards, over his own goalkeeper, tapping. Cameron Lebidge, header back, over. The keeper comes out too far. Big miscommunication. Boys tapping in, 3-0. Game over. Tie over. And they go mad at each other. But it gives them a possibility, if they want it, to possibly rest players next week. And then it's a kind enough system. Like, they go back now to Europa League. If they win that tie, it's a guaranteed Conference League.
Yeah.
And then a Europa League playoff to get to the group stages. And if they lose next week, or the week after, again, whoever they lose after Carabao, then they would get Conference League.
Or a Croatian team.
So it's good. Like, there's still a few games to play, and everyone knows this is going to be a difficult match. But as Joey Bryan says, probably the respect was excessive. But they actually went two up front in the second half, and it seemed to cause Carabao a few problems. Now, that could have been a Lions Australia thing where they put their foot off the gas a bit. But I guess the difference is the levels. It only improves the players within, but then you go back domestically and you don't need to play at that level. So then you go back down again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the thing is that if you are going to survive in matches like this against opposition who are, you know, all the cliches, technically superior and much more experienced, they're much greater European pedigree, you need those goals to go in, those big moments. You need your goalkeeper to have an absolutely sensational game. You need everything to go your way. And that's the bit. We're going to talk more with Keith Tracy about this in just a few minutes' time.
Can I just bring up that we've not, Thursday morning, I don't think we've mentioned Evan Ferguson this week. How are you feeling about it?
I thought there was a great piece by Neil O'Riordan this week. Everybody needs to get a bit of context on, with the exception of Robbie Keane, he's way ahead of everybody else who's ever played internationally for Ireland in terms of where he is in his career. If he plays the remaining internationals for Ireland this year, he'll be the only other 20-year-old to have had 25 caps or more than Robbie. Nobody else has done that in Irish football. I think we're quite quick to dismiss.
Yeah.
You know.
There's an interesting context with that as well, though. Suppose like
John Aldridge hadn't played a game of professional football at his age.
Yeah, there's late developers though. Like, it's not Ian Wright, whatever, doesn't go pro till 23. It doesn't really, people can get overlooked and stuff. It's an interesting, like, it's, you'd be, of his obvious ability, like, Ireland's at such a low ebb that it'll be, I dare say it's easier for a player of that level to get in the Ireland team now than necessarily when Robbie Keane came in. I know there was kind of that, there was a bit of a change in the guard there as well, and you had guys kind of coming towards the end of their career, but, like, I would say it's slightly different standard, no? Like, there's probably a lot of players in there, a lot of Ireland players in there with a lot more caps than other guys comparatively who were better players, just because the team was better at their, at when those earlier guys were coming through, you know. Just a theory, like, I still think he's class. It's just like, it's not like he's breaking into the team then, whereas now it's kind of like, yeah, well, who, in what way would you not start him if he was fit? Like,
there wasn't another number 11 who went on loan to Roma and it worked out very well for him.
Mo Salah.
Yeah. And he was at a low ebb. You know, it's easy to criticise that comparison. Say, ah, God, it's Mo Salah. Was at the time, he wasn't Mo Salah. He was just a guy from Egypt. You know?
Just a guy.
A Chelsea reject.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The guy who started against Liverpool in the Gerrard slip game. Started for Chelsea up front that day.
Yeah.
You know? So, I just think people are a bit more wary now because of the West Ham loan, which didn't work out, and his momentum's last, and he's a lot of injuries. But there's a giddiness to the fact that he signed for Roma.
Yeah.
Cool club. Great jersey.
Really good new manager.
They got for people who don't know, like, they have the former Atalanta manager.
Yeah.
Now, they are notoriously...
Could be gone in 3 months.
Exactly. it's five games. He's actually lost his job after five and six games twice. Not either side. There was like two jobs he had before two of the three jobs he had before Atalanta, where he stayed a lifetime. Gone after five games, gone after six games. And Roma are notorious for...
Yeah.
But he might be feeling good about himself. You know, Dermot Keenan there has mentioned in the comments there was fans to show up to welcome him. You know, and he didn't get that at West Ham.
No.
He certainly didn't.
The Roma third shirt that they released, coincidentally in the Ireland colours? Was this in the works for ages?
We're going to brandish that very soon to show people who haven't seen it, but it is one of the most gorgeous things of beauty I've ever laid eyes on. And I love a jersey. This is their third choice strip for the upcoming season, Roma. So who knows how often they're going to even wear this. But you imagine if they've bothered making it, they're probably going to wear it a few times. Hopefully now this is a Sunday night game against Juventus at home they throw it on. Well, but here it is.
They won't wear white against Juventus.
Look at that. Oh my God. So it is, what does it look like? It kind of has Euro 88 Ireland's away vibes to it. This is the Roma third choice jersey we're looking at. So this green collar, kind of retro sleeve, and the old Adidas logo, which they've brought back now, and then the Roma crest.
It strikes me a lot more Ivory Coast than Ireland.
I think that's
the order.
No, but just in terms of, like, I've seen Didier Drogba in that shirt, if you know what I mean. That kind of, it just, anyway, but it's lovely. It's lovely colours.
I was showing it yesterday in the office, and I was thinking, oh, it must be like a training top polo shirt thing, because it looks like you'd wear this out, like, wear this anywhere you want to go. It's so beautiful.
You didn't, like, you know, get one couriered to you overnight.
I looked it up. Yeah, it's £120.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they know what they have here. You know, they know the quality. It's gorgeous. You know, I hope everyone can see this though on YouTube. And if you're only listening to the show, watch that back on YouTube, because it's worth watching as Keith Tracy walks in all happy. And he'd love that jersey. You know, it would look well on Keith. This is the type of jersey that it would look well on everyone. As Ferguson number 11 heads in.
Do you think he'll play much?
I mean, I hope so. No, I really hope so. Like, they have
be on the bench
signed like another striker, though, haven't they?
I'm a little bit worried about it. And I'm not to be cynical about it. Like, it's class. I'd love if it did well, if that move worked out. Because I just love anyone going abroad.
Yeah.
But, jeez, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a fairly... it's a fairly risky move. There's definitely an element of risk.
I would have thought the risk is to do nothing, really, and not take a chance like that. I'd be with you. Like, I'm very excited on his behalf.
Yeah.
But there's a bit of trepidation because of what's happened last year to him. But I think staying at Brighton, it's interesting. Fabian Hertz, there's comments even when he left. He was like, oh, he's a very talented boy. He's been unfortunate with injuries. Like, he's loaning him out, like, you know, yeah, and with the option of selling at the end of it, which is another thing we haven't talked about.
That's what.
So it's a €3 million loan fee, a €37 million option to buy.
You'd say that's
in a year.
Good management from the manager to talk up your players as opposed to this guy's never playing for me again, yeah. Even though it's fairly obvious.
So look, we'll cross the bridge if it doesn't work out and all that.
I hope
it does. I hope because imagine it does. What's the world if this really works out and Evan Ferguson lights up Serie A?
Well,
it's enormous.
Yeah. Did you see Jadon Sancho's comment on a post about Jadon Sancho?
No. Great. That was fantastic.
You didn't see the start?
No.
There's a couple of ways of reading this. There's an Instagram post where Jadon Sancho, I think, has posted a picture of him at training or something, and then there's comments underneath given out about... And then there's an answer, hey, don't worry about these guys, bro. If you're the best footballer in the world...
And it's Jadon Sancho's account. So he's commented on his own, but he just forgot to log into his other account.
Or whoever's managing his social media accounts. I forgot to do that. That's the benevolent reading of the situation. Is like his team, entourage.
That's a shocker.
He has 10.5 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah, it's important in life. He's gonna be fine.
I don't know if he is. Like, he's kind of, what age you know?
Well, he's
23, 4.
Yeah, and he's
not the birthday mold yet in the show. Bring it up, I can bring it forward.
Grant. If the answer's going to be he's making loads of money, sure, yeah, he is. That's fine. But I mean,
25.
We're not really. It's sort of relative, I suppose, what we're measuring against. We're measuring against guys who are all making loads of money. I'm not saying his life compared to me.
He's 25, and it feels like he's been around forever. But we really haven't seen much of him at the same time.